coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
So if you've been watching along and you're like, I don't want to get spoiled, spoilers are going to start very soon. Apologies.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Now you don't know if that was a spoiler or a joke.
Go see Monkey Man before you come back to us for this next part.
My gosh.
Welcome back to The Break Room. Monkey Man released this weekend, but should you see it in theaters?
The answer is yes.
Oh, okay.
It's The Break Room.
And the video.
Why are we here? It's a TikTok. We're done now.
It's a graphic.
Yeah. Look at that graphic.
Oh my God, I so was not expecting that. I don't know why. That scared me.
It's a graphic. Big Friday energy at the
big
show.
Big Friday energy.
Big Friday for a whole 4 days.
I'm Evan. Joining me today is Koi Jandro.
So happy to be here. So happy to talk Monkey Man.
Brandon Barrick.
I want more King Cobra backstory.
And John Costa.
Put me in the ring. I'll get my ass kicked.
So if you've seen the Break Room movie review before, we do spoilers usually and rank the movie in parts. But before we do it this time, I wanted to get everyone's kind of like general overview, spoiler-free reaction so that if you haven't seen the movie yet, but you're watching the video and you're like, should I watch this? What do people think? We'll just talk about the movie generally very quickly before we do some spoilers and do the typical kind of format. So what do you guys think of the movie overall? Do not spoil it. John.
Oh, I'm first. Cool. Chaotic out of the way first. No, I think, you know, this movie, I think the trailer sells a better movie than what we end up getting. Okay. That being said, I did think the movie is good. You know, Evan and I were talking before the show started to say, like, you know, if you judge this movie of its genre of, like, you know, kind of like just straight action gun punch, not like superhero, it's very good. It's a very good movie. If you were to judge it kind of against like movies in general, it's pretty good. I think those are my kind of general thoughts. I thought that like the fighting was great. I thought the story that they were telling was really compelling. I thought the screenwriting was a little weak. We'll get into that later. That was kind of my only issue. Cinematography was really wonderful. I thought the performances were good. It's a good movie, yeah.
Yeah, I would say good action. Looks great in a big screen.
Yeah.
Some really fun sound design, some good music. Had a good time. I think it's worth seeing in a theater, for sure.
I think that I liked it a little bit more than these guys, but it's not like a you know, full 5.5.5 star, but I did think that it was bolder than I expected. I was so impressed at it birthing not just a new action star, but also a great action director. I was really impressed that Dev Patel was like every single credit he co-wrote, he produced, he directed, he starred. Mm-hmm. But what I really loved was it wasn't just Wiccan. Like, it leans pretty heavy into the Wick in the trailers, and it even kind of acknowledges it at points. But I thought there was a lot of like, Danny Boyle's a great example. Like, Slumdog Millionaire is a lot of how we know Dev Patel, and this felt like it used a lot of Dev Patel's learning on set. Like, it didn't feel like a first-time director. There was a lot of really incredible kinetic energy that is so unique to any director, much less a first-time director. Some Aronofsky existentialism, some really bold sound design choices. So I think the boldness made up for some of the story fallings for me. Like, I was able to forgive some of that. It isn't perfect because of those story failings, but I did think that what it accomplished was so special. I'd highly recommend it. I had a really good time.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everybody across the board. I think something, which we'll get into a little bit more, is like the kind of the story of how this movie came to theaters. Originally supposed to be on Netflix. A great quote, though, from Jordan Peele, who was like had a huge hand in making this happen, was like, he saw the movie and he was like, I was watching it and I could hear the crowd reactions, right? And I don't know if you what your guys' experience was when you saw it.
They all said,
that was
that part of the YouTube show, or was that Twitch?
No, nope, that's
Twitch.
That's a callback.
Well, shit, chat.
A lot of weird comments now.
Well,
yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, that was the thing, like, in the screening yesterday, like, I don't think anyone was immune to, like making audible reactions. Mm-hmm. Like, there was also, like, attempts at, like, big claps at my screening, like, for, like, big, you know, fight wins or whatever. And it was really interesting to be like, yeah, this is something completely divorced of any IP,
sure,
right? But it is something that people are like suddenly feel moved to actually like cheer along in the theater for. And for this type of film, like a revenge action story, I feel like I'm not getting that type of reaction if I were to go see like The Beekeeper or something. But yeah. Maybe maybe I would have, because I did not see The Beekeeper in theaters.
People got hyped at The Beekeeper.
Before we get into spoilers, I want to say, I think we're living in a really interesting time of new filmmakers that isn't getting enough credit. A lot of people are talking about, you know, the industry failing, and it's easier to get clicks negatively. But if you look at last year, there were so many really inventive films. There were so many really bold films, even like from small to blockbuster, even our two biggest, like Barbie and Oppenheimer. Those are crazy films on paper that exist. And I think if you look at this year, we're only a quarter in, and we've got something like Monkey Man. We've got Civil War coming out next week. We've got Megalopolis coming out this year. There's a really ambitious vibe to movies right now, and I think Monkey Man is a testament to that. I also think last year Universal was the number one studio, dethroning Disney for the first time in a long time, and I think it's a testament to moviegoers wanting to see original stuff. Because Universal is swinging for the fences with their insanity, like Cocaine Bear and that Santa movie with David Harbour. Like, they're doing the really ambitious stuff, and you're talking about box office and not being on Netflix. Netflix effectively lost $30 million in this movie because they didn't put it out. Right. Yeah. This was acquired for $10 million. It's going to make probably 12 to 15 opening weekend.
Oh,
putting this in the black opening weekend, like first frame. So I want to give some love to Universal for making these big swings and it paying off and respecting moviegoers.
Yeah. This was the budget of this movie was $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you should always root for like a $10 million movie.
Yeah.
That's what we want to see, like a more effective use of budgets.
Right.
And, like, not wasteful. And it's promising too after like Dune Part 2, which was $130 million.
Yeah.
Right. And did very well.
The Dial of Destiny was $350 million. That movie
maybe
was $350 million, and this was $10.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Universal
paid
$9 million for the movie.
Yeah, so they're going to, like, the amount of profit that's about to happen for them, and I want more studios to look at these kind of films and go, like, let's make five $10 million movies.
Right.
Like, let's just see what happens.
Yeah, 100%. And it doesn't have to be, like, The Monkey Man 2, which we'll get into, like, thoughts about, like, a sequel.
Oh, wow.
But it could be, like, you know, just another entry into this kind of, like, genre from an equally exciting, if not the same, filmmaker, right? All right. I think that probably is good on our general reactions here. So if you've been watching along and you're like, I don't want to get spoiled, spoilers are going to start very soon. Apologies.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Now you don't know if that was a spoiler or a joke.
Go see Monkey Man before you come back to us for this next part.
My gosh.
Okay, as we do on the break.
Oh, it's getting cut! Carla?
Is our editor in the room?
Yeah.
Was that sound the editor's accepting defeat of like, having to deal with this chaos? Carla, I respect you.
I think that was like, Evan's gonna ask me to cut this anyway.
Oh, that was amazing.
Stop fucking asking.
Can we always have the editor in the room so those sounds can happen on Friday shows? Carla, thank you in advance.
They're both slacking her right now.
Yeah.
Keep it. Get rid of it.
As we do on the Break Room movie review, we'll grade the movie in parts from 1 to 5. Half points are okay. Our off-screen team will be doing the math to get us the total number. We'll be grading the script, the story and writing, the acting, the visuals, the directing, and of course the most climactic category to end on, the sound and score. So first,
keep in that order, huh?
Keep in that order.
It's a good order.
It feels, you know,
is that my
tradition
fault?
Now.
Is that for
no,
me? For
it's
forever?
My fault.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
John and I were talking about the format of the show today and changes.
Every time you mentioned it, it's always like, I'm sure that'll get changed by the next time.
It's about watch time. It's what people want to know the most.
That's right.
And we keep them.
That's
waiting.
Right.
The script. So the story is by Dev Patel. The screenplay is by John Colley, who wrote Master and Commander and Hotel Mumbai, and Paul Gunwella. So what did you guys think about the kind of script and story for Monkey Man?
You know, I feel like it definitely follows a formula that we're used to in these kind of revenge movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's like a very competent script that goes through the beats well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe slows down a little in the middle, the way it kind of sets things up. I think it works well and it's good and it was entertaining. I wanted, I guess, maybe more of a surprise to the story. I don't know. I don't feel like the final battle was the climax I want, but maybe that's the comment on the situation, you know, like the reality of it. Because the movie kind of exists in like two universes, right? A very serious, grounded one, and maybe a little more Tarantino-esque, goofy violence. So it's like, I don't know if like having this impactful ending worked as well. I don't know. I wanted another surprise, I guess.
Yeah.
In this genre. But this is like a perfectly great much better than most movies that try to do this story. And yeah, from a first-time director, incredible.
Yeah.
I agree with most of what you're saying. I think its biggest fault almost is its sort of like paint-by-numbers approach to a revenge story. And I don't want to say that because it is a really unique film. But the like actual beats of storytelling, I think, were really familiar in that there was a lack of surprises, right? Yeah. And you know, I want to ask you guys this, because when I was sitting in the theater, it really struck me as an interesting choice. You have, we're in spoiler territory now. The third act of the film, right? The kid, Dev Patel's character, or maybe just kid, kills the police chief first. Mm-hmm. And then kills the like cult leader second, right? And the interesting thing with that is that makes sense logically. Like, this is the chief of police, a rung down from this like political figure. So you want to like kill the big bad last or whatever. But the personal stakes kind of fuck that up, because mm-hmm. you have a much more emotional, you know, the emotional climax happens before we get to the like action climax.
Yeah.
And I thought personally the action climax, the way that was shot, the set piece itself was way more interesting when it was kid versus this political figure versus the kid versus police chief figure. Those two fights, like, I preferred the final one to the one right before it. But like emotionally speaking, I think I would have preferred that kill to have happened last. I'm not totally sure where I actually sit on that, but I'm curious to kind of hear from you guys.
Yeah.
I thought it worked because they kind of made him not a religious figure himself, but they leaned into all the religious allegory throughout, like the flashbacks and leading up to that story. So I thought it worked to have the big bad be taking down the institution itself, because throughout the film they sprinkled in how it wasn't just the cop, it was the cop taking orders and the overall system in that neighborhood, in that town, in that environment was a problem. So it felt like to me he needed to take down the overarching. And if he had done that first, then I think it would have felt like a denouement to take on his own personal demon. And that would have felt like it underserved it. So I personally liked it, but I can see where you're coming from.
You know,
from.
They did a lot of that work to set up, you know, him in the car, kind of giving that phone call of like, yeah, go fucking kill these people, all that sort of stuff. And him with, you know, these new buildings that they built because they got this new land, and I agree with you there.
And the election sequence I thought was pretty strong. Yep. I liked that we had not just a you know, an F the police, but also a like, look at your systems, look at your institutions.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And they did their homework, right, setting all that up. I just feel like, you know, we saw such an intense scene with the police chief and the mother, and you know, the like hands were such an important element, and the police chief kept saying shit like, you know, is your mom this fucking hot or what, you know, whatever weird lines he keeps saying. And so like the focus of him as the villain is what kind of tripped me up.
But I think that's what makes it about the Dev Patel character being a man of the people, not just revenge. I think if he had killed the religious figure first and then killed his guy last, it would have made the final boss about himself. And instead, it made the final boss about him helping
his people.
But the
movie is about him.
But I think when the community takes him in, it makes him more than himself. He doesn't leave the money to himself. He leaves the money to his people.
I'm on board, but the story I'm following is a story of this one man and his revenge to kill the person who killed his mother.
Oh, see, I went right? Like, this is a guy that becomes a folk hero because he doesn't stop at his mom's killer. He stops at...
Yeah, but we never get that, like, we don't get any heroics. I'm sorry, that's not the right way of phrasing that. We don't see the after effects of his heroics.
That's fair. Yeah. That's
and
true.
So maybe if we have this like cult figure thing and he's for the people and he's wearing this mask and the mask becomes iconography and like people are graffitiing it on the streets and shit like that. Like that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But we don't get any of that. It always felt like a more personal story to me. So it's just... I think it's really interesting, two people seeing the same movie coming out of it with
and
a different...
And how the order
opinion.
We interpreted the exact
Absolutely.
Opposite. That's fun.
Yeah, and I think like... To bring it back to this, like the script of it, it does feel like what you're saying, Koi, is more like where maybe they wanted to go overall, right? To take like, how can your personal journey then transcend into becoming something that like can inspire a people, right?
And that's what I think I was saying in my non-spoiler at the top, was that I can see the flaws in some of the things that didn't land. So I'll say my story bit. I thought the story was the weakest element of the things, but it was still above average. I'd give it like a 3.5. I'd say it's like a B. Started to get my number early. But like I think overall it's my smallest number, but at the same time, time. My issues with it are in that I saw the ambition of trying to do five things and only like two landing, but I liked the ambition of the five. So I saw him becoming a folk hero. I saw the Monkey Mask as being either like a superhero thing or like a Guy Fawkesian thing, and it becoming like him being a man of the people, like a Paul Bunyan. But what I really liked was it did address, you know, systemic issues. It did address, you know, a lot of racism and a lot of sexism and a lot of bigotry, but it did it in a way that didn't feel heavy-handed, and it did it in a way that I thought tied into the nature of a culture that I don't know a lot about. And I felt like the culture was a sub-character, and I felt like the culture of that world I got to be immersed in. And so I don't blame the script for trying to do that much, because I'd always rather a script be too ambitious than too linear. So the writing being the smallest number is only because I didn't feel like it ever explained why the woman with the thing in her neck, I was like, oh, I wonder if they knew each other as kids. Never really read it. And like, there's certain things that I was
expecting that to
happen. Like, that moment was so, was like, that really, dropped in a whole half.
It
for
really,
me. So I was like,
I was
why
like,
are we so?
I thought that they were going to reveal that they like knew each other from their childhood. It was such an interesting. I get that he was just trying to say, like, you know, I am doing this for people, and there are people that like were affected by this, and it's not just me, which is kind of going back to your point. But you're right. I did think like they were going to realize that they knew each other at some point, if they lived in the same neighborhood or whatever.
That was Slumdog Millionaire. They've done that.
That was it. That's right. But I did like it overall, and I liked the ambition.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, I think that's like in, as we said a little bit earlier, like, or I think you said it, John, on air, with like in the canon of these kinds of movies, these revenge action stories, like this is definitely like a cut above, whether it is because of like the cultural like specificities and allegories, or if just because of like the general vision, it feels like much stronger. But it does feel like it's trying to do a lot. It doesn't quite land. I do wonder if some of the stuff with like the woman with the, I guess, is it a tattoo?
This tattoo,
a tattoo or a collar?
It's a bird, like, not a sparrow.
Not a sparrow. Yeah. It's a bird from his woods.
Oh, yeah. If that's
which made it feel like they knew each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. If it was cut out, like that storyline, you know?
Very possible, because she sort of disappears. She shows up for like a shot in the third act as like a deus ex machina and then is gone.
Yeah, it definitely felt like that was a subplot that didn't get the time it deserved.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to say really quickly, we are not experts in the kind of like political scene of India and like what is going on, but I do want to shout out Nitish Pawa's writing on Slate and Sanat Halaka's review of the movie A Monkey Man for IGN. Both of those are great kind of like entries and like how they viewed the movie, and also like a little bit of how they feel Dev Patel is taking the situation that's happening in India and like putting it into film. So I would highly recommend checking those out. I feel overall this story, I think like if I were to give a number, I would also probably give it a 3. I feel like pretty like I like the movie a lot. This is not its strongest point for me for sure, but feel it's like again a cut above the rest. So I have 3. Corey, you have 3.5.
Yeah, I think I would go for a 3.5 also on this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a perfectly serviceable kind of revenge story, better than like a lot of them that get done. I got really excited when he's going after the police chief for the first time. Mm. For a second, I thought like, oh, he's gonna kill him, and we're like not even an hour into this movie.
And then the movie goes in a new fun direction.
At that point, they had introduced the religious character. And I was like, oh, this is like a fun twist where like he gets what he wants, and then it's like, oh, now what do? I fucked up my job, and I'll be on the run. And blah, blah, blah. So I got a little disappointed when I was like, oh, we're doing this. Where
I also thought that moment was really cool because of the reverse chronological order of some of the flashbacks. I like that it wasn't linear, because there was a little bit more interest because you didn't just see it happen and then go like, oh, and now that's why he's mad. I like that element in the writing.
Yeah, the slow reveal was like, okay, we get it. You know,
it works, at points it did.
And then there's like that moment of like when the mom is put in danger where you're like, what am I about to have to sit through in this movie? Where like, I'm not always game for that. And it, you know, it's not that bad. Not that bad. People die. I don't know if the character dies, but it's like, it's not overtly done.
No, but we're spoiling things.
It does
There's
feel
no
like,
on-screen rape, which is
like, no, like, I was concerned about. But like, you're worried about that. And it's like, because it's been teased for a few times at this point in the movie. You're like, we know there's a back tragedy here. Let's get this going. So yeah, I think 3.5 for the story.
Yeah, I'm with Evan here, a little bit lower than you guys with 3. I think it's kind of what you're saying, right? Like, the second you saw the hands, you knew, like, okay, those are scars from a burn, and we know that his mom is not around anymore, and that guy's the villain, and so you could kind of just start putting the movie together, And then we watch it, and it's a little bit like, oh, I wish that this had been slightly different from the movie that I knew we were about to go
to. Yeah, some subversion there would be nice.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and also to kind of give the audience some context, like, a lot of the backstory for Dev Patel's character is, like, spread out throughout the movie.
Right.
So it does take some time to reveal things that are happening that you as an audience are already inferred, like, these things have happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, and I think it's, like, a little disappointing that we started here, because mm-hmm. I do think that this was the weakest element of the film.
It often
seems that's why we saved score. We got this here. Now everybody's already left.
I do generally think the score is also, like, a very bad. It's not good.
Well, okay, here we go.
And we'll get to that in a second. But it is too bad, because the screen, everything else is, like, really top-notch.
Yeah.
The screenplay is just kind of where it's weaker.
What's your final number, John?
3.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. So let's move on to the acting. Dev Patel, directing and acting in the film, reteaming with actors he worked with on Hotel Mumbai. Also Charlton Copley, who you might recognize from District 9 or Chappie. What'd you guys feel about
that? They were in Chappie together.
Oh, together. That's right. Yeah. Well, how'd you guys feel about the acting?
I thought the acting was like very good. You know, like, there's actors I recognize, actors I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. A lot of the background extras felt very authentic and real. I know they shot this movie in Indonesia and India, right? Or
I think production was supposed to happen in India and they moved it all to Indonesia. I don't know if it, like, some of it took place in India. Yeah. I'm not quite sure.
But, like, a lot of great acting, you know, like, some of them, a lot of looking at the camera, you know, with a lot of
the background actors.
It's tough. It's tough. What are you going to do? But it's also tough because
$10 million, how much you got?
Right. There's also a ton of, like, POV shots. So I never know if they're supposed to be looking at me, like I'm watching Peep Show or something like that. So it's always a little disconcerting when they look right at you.
But
I think everyone does, like, a really great job, and it feels, like, very real. It felt like a real, you know, down to earth. It didn't feel like it was shot on. We're not doing production yet, but
volume.
Like, yeah, it didn't feel like it was shot on the Universal backlot. Right. They dressed it to look like India or something. Yeah, right? It felt like real. And, like, I loved, like, a lot of the crowd shots of, like, at the fighting matches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was more with this woman who works there that we never get into.
Yeah. And the other woman who works there.
The queen. I want to know more of the queen lady.
She was so badass.
And
like, just awful.
Yeah.
So awful.
Yeah. Very badass, very awful. The main cop guy who really looked like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. What unconscious that was.
He was very scary. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of fun. I thought the acting was, like, really good at it.
It's hard
to knock it. And Dev is definitely in there doing some stunts.
Yeah.
He broke his hand.
Broke his foot.
I mean,
I would think the acting is one of the strong points, especially with someone who, like, Ben Affleck didn't put himself in Gone Baby Gone. He did his second movie, put himself in it. And, like, this would be like if Rocky was written, directed, and starring Stallone. Like, it is such an impossible
feat. That's a lot to do.
Yeah, and so to be this proficient, I can't wait to talk about the directing, but to not get ahead of myself, to be this proficient on camera while you're doing the impossible task of directing, I was so impressed at Dev Patel, because he's been my Reed Richards for, like, 10 years. I've
seen people fancast him as Bond after seeing this movie, and I'm pretty in for that.
So, like, I love you, Pedro Pascal, but there's a reason he's been my Reed Richards for so long, because he has that thing where he seems so intelligent, but he also has that thing where he's charming while standoffish, and it's so much fun to see him in this, where Monkey Man gets to become a figure because of those attributes, and it's really cool to see, like, a folk hero be born. Right. So I was really impressed with the in-cage stuff. I was really impressed with him being charming when he had to. I love the scenes with him and that, like, lackey number two, like that short guy, who, by the way, it was funny. I ran into him in the bar line, and it was so funny being in, like, an interaction in real life with someone that you just saw be the scuzziest. Because, like, he was so good in the movie that I was like, I don't want to, go. Like, and I was like, oh, this is effective, because I'd never seen him before.
Right.
And I liked that. I was like, I don't think I trust this new stranger. And, like, the acting was so immersive that everyone in the world felt like you weren't watching a movie. It felt like you had an eyeline into Dev Patel's character, and then everything else was you just on edge. Like, the tension was great because of the acting. And I've been a really big fan of Charlton Copley, I think, like most people, since District 9. And whenever he pops up, it's a relief to know there's going to be at least that level of wacky awesome.
Yeah,
like, he grounds a huge performance every time.
Yeah.
So I was impressed. He's great.
I think this is perfect casting for that.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like, so showman, but also, like, a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good for him.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not much more to say that hasn't been said already, right? It's like, it does feel kind of like aces across the board. I do...
Brendan and I will find something to
complain. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have our night colors on.
We're just mad.
We're in a
we're mourning.
I do want to say, speaking of the police chief, I really thought that C. Connor Kerr brought a lot to the role of the police chief. I thought like that was a role that could have been, you could have just like swung really hard for it, been like really just like loudly menacing.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like played very, a little bit more subtle and when they meet in present day, right? He's definitely like very clearly a piece of shit in the flashbacks. And now he's just like, I'm chilling, I'm doing my thing, I'm like collecting checks, you know, we're like ushering in a new regime. And he's just like, I don't know, he feels so like understatedly bad, you know? So I really thought like that was super strong too. Of course, and everything with the rest of the cast and Dev Patel just like knocking it out of the park with this one. Just bringing a lot of like having that believable underdog charm for someone who is also like, you know, fighting in the ring every night and basically sometimes winning, sometimes losing, and then winning all the time.
Yeah, I think before the show started, we were all kind of talking about the performances, and I think the only weak spot that you could maybe point to is like the kind of collection of, you know, featured extras basically at the temple, probably a bunch of non-actors that they had for that role, was like maybe the only thing that you could point to say like some of those line readings
were
wooden or whatever, but like by and large, the fucking dog was doing good work, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
I thought it was great. The scene when he buys the gun, by the way, is like such a brief scene, but I like loved the gun salesman guy.
He was great.
And I think that like, you know, when we talk about the screenplay and the writing, I do think that the like dialogue and some of those like smaller moments are really where the screenplay shines, and it kind of misses when it comes to like some logic things. But I thought that the performances were right there.
Yeah,
and all the stunt actors were really good too, which I appreciate, because like, you know, the stunt actors, especially in these like fight movies, you have to be like man working in kitchen who sees stuff going down and has to go like do one of those like wah, you know, like make one of those faces, unbelievably slowly get to the guy and fight him. Like they all did great work. Like Axe Guy in the brothel, he was great.
Axe Guy was
like,
awesome.
Great featured stunt man. Like,
really,
really good. The poor man who was in the brothel who just got axed.
I audibly, dude, that moment. And I felt kind
of
bad.
But a lot of good, like all the stunts looked like really great.
Yes.
The camera work very frenetic, but we'll get to that.
If you've gotten to this point and haven't seen the movie, one, shame on you. But two, the experience of it in a theater is part of it. Like, I love that.
My audience reacted to that.
It felt like I wish Roadhouse was in theaters. This is a great companion piece to Roadhouse, because Roadhouse, Amazon's like, no, just streaming, and this is what happens when Netflix loses a movie. Put things in theaters.
It is really good this is in theaters, because I think this is a great movie to see on a bigger screen. Not at home, distracted, on your device, kitchen lights still on.
I want to hear
stopping your pee.
I was in the theater and I was sitting there and I was like, this is a 6 at home.
Yeah.
This movie's a 6 at home.
Yeah.
It's probably an 8.5 in the theater.
Yeah, I never thought of my phone in the theater, and I love that.
No, fuck no.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so...
let's give our ratings on the acting. Evan, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm going to give...
I'm in the shot.
Yeah, John's in the shot. I think final thoughts overall... Yeah, I forgot about some of the other things you said about the... If we're thinking of the cast overall, man, I think I'm going to have to go with a 4.
Well, okay. That's fair.
4 for me.
That's great.
I give Dev a 5, but I give the overall cast a 4, which is good. That's like an A-minus strong.
Yeah.
None of these performances will be nominated for an Academy Award. Not that that means anything, but a 4, I think, is fair. There weren't any performances where you're like, holy shit, that was...
And this is a movie where that could have easily happened.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The style, the, you know, genre.
Yeah, I would do a 4 also. I think the acting, 4. Great.
Yep.
Great stuff. Incredible.
All right.
Don't they have a stunt Oscar soon? Don't they have one now?
They're fighting for it. Check out the Fall Guy in May.
What's the new Oscar they have next year?
Casting. They did a special shout out to stunts, but not yet the Oscar.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's deserved.
Before we get to more of the ratings, we wanted to thank our sponsors today, like Kalshi.
Yeah.
Kalshi is the first legal financial exchange in the U.S. where you can bet on any event like release dates for Beyond the Spider-Verse, Ooh. Another Dune movie, and even Rotten Tomato scores. They should have had one for this movie, which because it would have been real interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But if you got a hunch on if the critic score for a movie will land above or below 90 for movies like Deadpool, Wolverine, Borderlands, or even Gladiator 2, you can buy shares on either side of it. As early reviews come in, the prices will fluctuate. So if you buy it at a lower price, but the share price goes up, you can sell. You can make the price that you sold for. You're buying futures on things. You know, it's kind of like fantasy football, only for the entertainment industry, and it's super fun. And you can make some money doing it. Kalshi is the only place you can bet on these Oscars and Rotten Tomato scores in all 50 states, but it's got a ton of different markets, not just score. Rotten Tomato scores, there's also markets on politics, music, climate, economics, tech, games, and more. You can sign up by going to kalshi.com/breakroom. The first 500 traders will get a free $20 credit. Also, we wanted to thank One Shot Energy.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, pull out a One Shot.
Whoa. In the office? I don't have
what the fuck?
What are you doing? Telling us you know what? Low key though.
Oh, there it is.
Low key, these voice drops kind of hit.
Yeah, the voice drops are good. We wanted to thank One Shot Energy. One Shot Energy chews our healthy and convenient energy boosting supplement candy for gamers, athletes, YouTube hosts, everybody, really. They've got the energy chews and focus chews and voice drops.
Is this good for the sound, by the way?
Yeah,
is it working for you?
He's trying to do an ad read, John. Johnny's trying to do an ad read.
Hey, so we were talking about the voice drops too. Voice drops are usually flavored with marshmallow, honey, and peppermint, and they're a huge game changer. If you have a job where you have to talk all day long, I can only imagine. Who wrote that? Who wrote that?
You know who wrote that? An auctioneer. Can I get 45, 45, 45 over here, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 50, 52, 52,
I've considered 52. That as a job. I don't know how you get in. What's an entry-level auctioneer position?
I think you first have to go to garage sales. Mm-hmm. You just kind of do it at a garage sale.
You sign up, you're for the exposure.
I'll be your guy.
Yeah. My aunt runs a garage sale a couple times a month. Connected. She's always chasing off wannabe auctioneers. Yeah.
Every week, I try to show up. It doesn't work out.
You did a blue. Oh, boy.
I did. That was the ambition.
He blew himself.
Yep. I smurfetted. Oh, no.
All of One Shot Energy's products are plant-based, naturally sweetened, and designed to give you the energy and focus you need without a bunch of fillers and chemicals. Get started with One Shot Energy today by going to oneshotenergy.com/newrockstars for 10% off your order. John, tell us about the merch.
When we were about to go live, and I said, hey, do I have to do anything today, or am I just going to be a guest? Mm. And you said, full guest.
Hey, John, we want to thank you for joining us today on The Break Room as a guest, and I want to tell you about some of the great X-Men-inspired designs we have right now on Nerd Riot.
Roll the graphics.
Show them, like, look at
Whoa.
That.
Whoa!
I saw that part of the show.
Sleeve's missing.
look at Storm. Remember,
I love this shirt.
It's a great design. Remember when
I
she
really
had powers?
Whoa.
Hey, you can act like you just matriculated to Xavier.
Sure.
It doesn't have that white stripe
that
on
doesn't
it.
Have,
yeah, it doesn't have that
white
stripe.
We love the white stripes.
We love
Very
the
talented.
It's got sleeve, no white stripe.
Okay, so let's talk about the visuals. Shot by Sharon Meyer, who's the DP, Sharon Meyer, sorry, who's the DP of Whiplash. Mm. Listen, I don't know if we want to get into the editing here as well, but man, I love when people are committed to a consistent visual and editing style, and this movie just like really knocked it out of the park for me. Yes, John.
Are we not going to talk about the editing later? Is that not one of our categories?
Yeah, we got rid of the category.
Oh.
Because it's time to talk about the edit, baby. I think that we're going to be really mixed on the visuals of this film.
Whoa.
I think that, because Brendan keeps calling it frenetic, which I think is a bad word.
No.
This is fun. It looked great.
Yeah.
The edit was really strong, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It was probably my favorite part of the movie. I thought that, like, it was really well-paced. I thought that we could have done with another 30 minutes of the movie to address some of these fucking story problems that we've already talked about. I didn't feel like I was, like, checking my phone to get out of the theater. There was one edit point that I despised, but that happens.
What was it?
When a little kid is watching his house get burned down, there's like a tracking shot
through
and the dolly
door.
Yep, and the dolly starts really late after the edit point, as if they called action and then waited two beats and then started the dolly, but they put the edit point too early.
Yeah.
That was the only real shot that like really kind of got to me, but By and large, I thought that the editing was really good, and I thought the visuals were also super great, especially when they were doing. Actually, there was a one shot that I didn't love. It was like a hard.
This would be
hard,
two. This
tight,
would be the second shot.
Well, no, that's the edit. This is the shot. There's like a hard, tight push in on one of the paintings, and the camera was doing this while it was trying to push in. That bothered me, but I generally thought like the visuals of the. Those sort of like depictions of the story that he was being told at the beginning, and then the flashes to that when he was sort of like going through his trip, plus the visuals of the, you know, kind of more traditional stories that they were kind of like showing on the in these murals. I thought that all was really cool. He fucking ripped himself open.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was
which
fun.
Was also very cool. I liked fun. It. I thought I liked it a lot.
I would call the visuals frenetic, John, and I think you would agree with that. We're jumping around a lot. Like, I felt like this did feel like, you know, Dev being like, hey, I've learned a lot. I want to show you some stuff. We got all sorts of things, like these POV shots, these a lot of spinning around shots, like the weird into the chest stuff, right? All the fight sequences. Like, I thought a lot of the fights were pretty well shot. I could tell what was going on.
Yeah.
It all made sense. Yeah. The car chase sequence and their little buggy with the cops chasing him, I thought that was a little messy, messy. But to be fair, Christopher Nolan, Dark Knight, very messy car chase that is breaking the 180 all the time, and I think is visually a little messy.
Can I ask a question real fast that we could cut out if we need
to? Yeah, sure.
When they're doing that car chase and like the like buddy sidekick car is in the car, did that happen just like out of nowhere, or did I like zone out for a second?
He honks. He's like, get in here.
Because I think I zoned out during that part of the movie, and I was like, how the fuck did he get in a car?
Which his motivation there is very
weird. The motivation is confusing. Maybe he blacked it out for quality.
He was like, the police guy was mean to me once. He made fun of my bad leg.
Yeah.
So now I quit, I guess. I don't know. All that being said, like, I feel like he's trying a lot of stuff, and it's fun. And, like, I didn't love everything. Some stuff I really did like. But, yeah, it was visually, like, very entertaining. Again, felt very real. Felt shot on location. You know, like, I loved, like, the energy in a lot of the sequences. We talked about this sequence earlier. The stealing of the wallet and the 80% handoff, too much.
Yeah, just too many hands. Exchange too many hands.
Too much.
Loved it.
The sequence was fun. It was like a little Soderbergh-y or whatever. I agree, it was fun, but it went through too many hands.
Tarantino.
There were too many hands.
It's too silly.
But like,
That and the knife with the mouth. Was like
the knife with the mouth got such a fucking pop in our movie theater.
I love
and it was cool.
He's Monkey Man.
But
he uses his mouth.
But his forehead was right there. His forehead
was
right
there. You can't stab through the forehead.
It's very strong.
No, he couldn't. The knife was here.
Oh, use his forehead.
He was like, and I was just like, just go this way.
Yeah, you would hit a knife with your forehead?
The blunt end of a knife? Why not?
A monkey wouldn't.
What if you hit your eye?
In his fucking jugular.
No, but you're going to hit
a monkey. I'm using my forehead. Evan, tomorrow, we're getting into the studio, we're streaming on a fucking Saturday, motherfuckers, okay? We're going to do this for real. Fuck the cantaloupe, use my neck.
The only other thing that really bothered me, the monkey mask wasn't on for long enough. He should have done...
Yeah.
I realize he wants to show that it's me, it's Dev, I'm doing the stunts, baby.
Yeah.
He should have worn the monkey mask into the first level of that fight and been the beast.
Yeah.
Like, let the beast out of the cage.
I will also say... Stop. Let me interrupt you, please. Let me be rude. I'm so sorry.
I will also say, dunking the monkey mask in bleach... You would never be able to put that on your face, ever, ever. If it dried out for 3 years, you could not put that on your face for 2 seconds. Yep. You would have died immediately.
Can somebody explain the bleach to me? I don't get the fucking bleach. Bobby's bleach.
Yeah.
He chose put the name the cocaine, Bobby. That's why he chose the name. I thought it was going to be like why his hands were fucked up for a little while. I just thought, like, what was the significance of the bleach? We kept seeing it.
It just gave him his name, Bobby Bleach.
Okay, but...
And then he used the bleach on the guy, which I thought was great.
I thought that was great.
Wasn't that kill you?
I assume it would, but we're in an almost superhero world.
Saturday, be here. We're streaming it live. Put your bleach in your cocaine.
I'm gonna talk about visuals. We're gonna do visuals and editing.
Combine visuals and editing.
This was one of the stronger points for me. Yeah. I think it did something that is very hard to do, which is make something that feels like the ambition of a student film in a positive way. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you take this many swings, you go, oh, this feels like a thesis film, and that's not a compliment. This, I'm saying it as a compliment. It is as ambitious as a guy going like, I've been in school for 4 years, this is what I have to do to prove myself, but in this case, it's Dev Patel, and he's a genius. So I was really impressed that it does the crazy existential visuals well. The fights, it is so hard to choreograph a fight, much less direct a fight, much less be in it while you've directed it. I was so impressed at everything working in the kitchen that didn't feel the same as in the ring, that didn't feel the same as in the final fight. Like, it always had a different energy, and then the scenes of dialogue weren't boring. It's so hard to have a movie that has pacing like that in an edit and slow down to speed up again. So I think one of the strengths of this film is the visuals and the edit, so it's a 4.5 for me.
No, I 100% agree with that. I mean, like, just speaking of that, like, handoff scene too, so smooth. And it just works so well to show. I mean, narratively, but knock that off.
The guy at the restaurant is gonna take out a couple bucks. I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like,
well, he's probably like, you know, the one, you know, dollar here, dollar there.
That 80 rupees, if it's a rupee a person.
All he wanted was a business card. Worked out for him.
I said my thing in the beginning. I really liked it. Ryan Painter here asking your favorite kill. I'm not a big, like, kill count kind of guy, but my favorite, like, fight thing in general was obviously.
I want you to know that 80 rupees is 96 cents.
The one kick that flattens the person in the ring when he's back, incredible. But also, I love that when he's in the kitchen, instead of taking a cleaver, he's like, let me take two tiny knives.
But the tiny knife, I don't know, or the knife he's knocking in his pants. I thought that was going to come back in the fight with the man at the very end.
He used it in the elevator.
He used it in the elevator.
Left it in some guy's leg.
Oh, you're probably right. I lost track of knives at one point. Sure.
I did like the knife. That was an intense medley, but I can't top the knife bite. Like, that was so cool.
I like the nose bite.
Oh, the nose bite was so intense.
I mean, Axe Kill was pretty good.
Axe Kill was the loudest
dude. Was pretty fun. And then I think the moment when, like, you know, his friends from the temple show up.
Yeah.
Like, that's
good.
Let's go.
Worked. Let's go.
Didn't work for me, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we're running out of time. Great. So 4.5.
4.5.
Four and a half.
All right.
Visuals definitely the strongest point in this movie.
As usual, this is the part of the show where we're running long on time, and I say the line that I say every time we do this. You know, everything that we've been talking about is all in service of, you know, the directing, right? Dev Patel's directorial debut here. I think we've discussed it many times of how impressed we are across the board on, like, how well this film was done. But anything you guys want to add specifically on the directing?
In brief, as a debut, I do want to give credit to him knowing what DP to work with. I feel like it doesn't, the relationship and the chemistry between a DP, it's funny seeing DPs that work with one director and another, and then that how that really affects the directing. So he clearly hired well for what he set out to make.
Yeah.
And then you also see DPs like Greg Fraser or Deakins or those titans of DP work that have such a strong visual flavor that it kind of colors the directing. This was really cool because I can't wait to see what each of them do next, because there were definitely moments that I was like, oh, Whiplash, but also there was a lot that was specifically Dev Patel. So I think the chemistry between the DP and the directing was really important, and it's a 5 for me, the directing.
Yeah, because you really got to trust whoever is, like, behind the camera.
When you're on camera, especially.
When you're on camera, right? Yeah, to have it all work so well between the edit and, like, in service of what the story is.
And directing the actors and the action. The fight scenes. Just impressive pace and everything.
Exactly, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Cool. It was really well done. It was really well done. It was well directed. I think that, you know, I didn't realize that this was a $10 million movie. And that says a lot.
Yeah.
That says a lot. This is like a $75 million movie, right? You know, Koi, what you said just now is something that we were talking about in the office earlier, which is, how much credit do you give the director, or do you give the credit to the department heads, specifically when you're talking about a first-time director, or even more specifically than that, a first-time director who has been acting in big movies, right? Because I think about this when, you know, when Bradley Cooper was up for Star Is Born, I felt a little bit like, did he really fucking direct this movie? Or was he just sort of like an acting coach, and he left the cinematography to his DP, and he left the production design to his production designer, and blah, 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 blah. You have these questions when it's an actor who's stepping into the director chair for the first time. I didn't feel that with this movie. I felt personally like you could feel a consistency across this whole movie that, like, one person was really focused on achieving, which sometimes you don't feel for a movie. I can't give it a 5 just because there were all these, like, sort of nitpicks that we've talked about. Even though the screenplay is on the screenwriter, it's also on the director to make all this stuff work, and the editor to make sure that this film you know, puts together perfectly. So I would give it a 3.5 or a 4. I'll probably lean to a 4 because I am excited to see what Dev Patel does next as a director. But yeah, I mean, you know, I hate to use the word serviceable, but like, he did a really serviceable job as a first-time director.
Yeah, I was impressed by it. I agree with the, like, all these points. Yeah, I think, you know, this is a story he obviously brought to the screen, so like, he has a lot of passion for it.
Yeah,
sure. He's in it, he's writing, he's directing it. I think he did a good job with all of those things. It'd be interesting to see what his next project is, see him direct something he doesn't write, something mm-hmm. he's not in. I don't know, we'll see. Sure. But like, I think looking at this, I was impressed. I would give him a 4, certainly. Like, mm-hmm. I think, you know, whether he, you know, and we came to this conclusion in the office too, right? Whether or not he's, what idea was initially his or mm-hmm. it came from his DP or this whomever, right? He's the director. He's making the calls.
Yep.
And it looks good. I was impressed. Yeah. It could be a little shorter. Really?
Why would you shave, though, out of curiosity?
Well, here's my thing. I think you're right that I think there was probably some storyline cut with the woman.
Yeah.
That I'd rather not
just cut her out.
That story. Yeah, if you're cutting that out, I think you cut out all of that.
So we're not thinking about it.
Yeah, I think her point is, right, like, his compassion leads to him being saved by her.
Right.
You know, so he's stuck with, even though she brushes him off, he sticks with, like, trying to reach out to her, trying to help her, so it helps him in the end. But, like, I think you can cut it out. That's not to say that it's a useless story and we should cut it out in general. It's like, just put the whole story. If you're going to take the time with that, just give me 10 more minutes mm-hmm. and fill out that story a little bit more.
But is it so? All right. So let's go around the table. Do final numbers.
I'm going 5. I everything I wanted.
Yeah, I'm doing. You know what? I'll also do 5 because I do feel like everything really. It's, you know, it appeals to me. Maybe it's not all working, but I do think it appeals to me very strongly. Yeah.
And right. Much like -1, $10 million. Crazy. Yeah. There's also a little flavor for the directing on a budget.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
4. I'm sticking with a 4.
I'll give it a 4 as well.
Okay. Yep. All right, and now for the final category, ooh, which we never have enough time for because it's the most important, the sound and score.
Okay.
Jed Kurzel, the score, he did the score for The Babadook. Listen, I thought the score and the use of music was done really weird in this movie.
Yeah. Was strange.
It was really odd.
That one fight in, not the last fight, but the second last fight was like kind of quiet drums a little bit. It was a weird...
In the main bar.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And it was 2 waves of that fight. And the first one was really subtle.
It was very
and the
weird.
Second one was like heavy metal guitar.
Yeah.
I loved the new metal, man. A new felt metal, like India song was awesome.
I loved all the like Indian music that was like the rap or like the hip hop that was in it. The weird mixes, the traditional stuff. Loved all that. The Roxanne needle drop. I don't know what you... How do you feel about the Roxanne?
So fucking bad.
I didn't like it at first. I was ready. I clocked it and I was like, ooh, I'm going to have something to say for sound and score this week because I didn't like it. And then they committed to it for so long that it won me over.
It won you over?
It went on for so long.
It's a bop. The remix is really good.
Yeah,
it's just like I felt like Dev Patel got out of the fucking... walked into my movie theater and whacked me in the head. And was like, she doesn't need to be a prostitute. And I'm like, dude, I'm here. I'm watching the movie, man.
I'm also like, part of me is like, I don't know. That's some real bullshit where it's like, you don't know what this lady's been through, dude.
Yeah,
like, you don't get to just fucking swing in.
But the whole movie's about turning on a red light. Look at the marketing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you ran through a house where, like, the lady...
Roxanne.
Yeah.
The red light.
The red light.
I thought it was funny.
But that's not what you want in that moment.
Yeah.
You don't want to make
it. You're like, cheeky.
There was great music cues, and there was very weird music cues. I agree, Evan. Like, I don't know. It was a lot.
There was some interesting stuff, too, because I felt... like they were inspired by the Rocky soundtrack at times because they were doing a heavy like bell that they would do. They would do this like bell noise that I was like, I'm sure that's sampled from something I've heard before.
Oh yeah.
Sounded really familiar.
So, like I love
so
the
I
drums.
I just think that the score was like doing a lot of different like kind of tropey things and never really found like its own voice.
Yeah.
I wanted like you know, when the credits rolled, like the Monkey Man rap.
Right. I mean, obviously. Dev Patel doing it too.
Yeah, Will Smith.
You know,
I'm going to say for me, I can't tell between 3.5 or 4 because it wasn't bad or distracting. It just wasn't.
Right.
I think I'm going to go a little lower. I'm going to go 3.5 because I did really like the sound design, the punches landing, like all of that work was
and
great.
And they came into the club.
The sound design
was great.
Yeah.
But some of the music was a little distracting.
Yeah.
But the sound design was. I'm going to change it to a 4. I'm going to go 4 because of the sound design and a lot of the songs were good and introduced me to some stuff. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go for a 3 because like I really thought the use of like the way they use the needle drops was like, not great, and the score for me was not as memorable, I think. But the sound design, like for a movie like this, you need that mix, you need that design to be very, right. very good, and that's why you watch this movie in theaters, and that's why you or you invest tens of thousands of dollars into the best home audio setup you've ever invested in, you know. But it sounds great, and good. It makes those fight scenes way more impactful when you can hear all of the like thuds and the knife stabs and the like,
nose bites.
I feel like he needed a theme, right? You wanted a Monkey Man theme. That you were like kind of humming on the way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it was missing. But I agree.
And we have this great training montage where they're playing the drums. And it's fucking sick.
I would love if the light and dark was
I did feel like one of the fights towards the end had like that drum.
But I would have loved that as a theme.
Right.
I think it would have been really cool if it was like a signature.
Yeah, like he's slowly building to it on movie. And by the end, he's got it.
That and his left and right kind of have a you know, a pace.
Yeah.
And then it ties into why that baby would, like, unlock something.
Yeah.
And that was the thing I was going to say. I love Edgar Wright a lot. I think he's like a very strong director, but I never think he always like, oh, I have this great idea for a set piece. Right. And then it never comes back throughout the movie. Yeah. Like Baby Driver has a great sequence where, you know, the main character is walking along, you see the lyrics on the wall. Mm. That never comes back.
Yeah.
That should have been throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Weird tangent. But yeah.
This has been Baby Driver.
This is my review of Baby Driver.
A few of Monkey Man.
Yeah. 60 for Baby Driver. Sorry, moving on.
I think for me the sound and score. Because I did like a lot of it, but some things did take me out. Maybe 3.5.
Yeah.
I think if they had, and again, if you had a rap during the credits.
I put on the soundtrack.
Every movie
needs
a rap during the credits.
I played the soundtrack on the way here. You know, that's why I decided on the 4/3.
Oh, okay.
Because it made me inspired enough to go to the Spotify.
Yeah,
so I'm going to go 4.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting gauge because there's so often where I'm in the AMC 16 in Manitoba parking structure and I'm driving out and I want to put the score on, but we're in an underground and I can't load it on my Spotify and it pisses me off. This is not one of those movies. It's a 2 for the score.
Whoa.
Because the sound design and the sound editing is so good, it's a 3 for this category. But the score, I genuinely think it's worse than the screenplay, but less impactful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the soundtrack reminds me a lot of like Shang-Chi, which had like a lot of great music
of
and a great album.
That's
a great accompaniment to the movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Shang-Chi, shout out, Idiot Rising, man.
Yeah, Idiot Rising, good stuff.
Come on, the show.
My buddy has a song on that. It's not
awesome.
Yeah. Wait. You know what Shang-Chi didn't have, though, was like a rap during the credits, like explaining who Shang-Chi was, like the history of Shang-Chi.
Could you use
where his next adventure is going to be?
All right.
You know it, John.
I almost just tried to launch into a freestyle rap for Shang-Chi. I so could have not.
Ooh, interesting. Uh-oh. Interesting. So before this we started, I was telling Dashiell, I was like, you know what, Dashiell? I think if I were to guess before anybody said anything, we'd come out at a 75.
Mm. Whoa, that's really low.
Well, no. Godzilla Kong, we ended up rating pretty low.
In the 60s, right?
Yeah, the 60s.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
Our final number for this one is a 78.5.
Whoa,
I think that is right on the money.
I think it's a little low. I think maybe, I think the movie overall could be here. I think maybe as a movie, B minus B.
Yeah, I was 82, 83 is where I'd put it, which isn't that far from that.
Yeah. Because genuinely, I was like, should I just stick with a 2 for the score? Because I think we're going to be in the high 80s, and I think we should be a little bit lower than that.
Well, we did it. Sometimes the scores have a way of surprising you.
Oh.
Which camera to look at. Hey, that's it for us today. Coy, where can the people find you?
I've been making my own YouTube page a little spicier. I'm doing a weekly show every single week. I'm going to give you all of the comics I read the week before, my top 9 fully reviewed. So I read about 50 to 70 books a week. So if you want to not read 50 to 70, you can watch my top 9.
Maybe
a comic is for you amongst that. I also preview every book coming out on Wednesday and give you the comic book news. And that's what I'm doing for now. I'm going to up that to movies as well once I get the hang of editing. But every week on my YouTube comic stuff, soon to be movie stuff as well, it's at Coy Jandro there and on TikTok, Twitter, everywhere you find me. Just type my name into Google in a lot of places. But YouTube is what I'm trying to build up now. Thank you.
50 to 70.
Imagine reading.
And you also go to the gym.
I go to the gym and I watch 5 movies a week and I try to watch a show a month.
What the fuck is going on?
I don't rest, but I do consume.
I'm
200 grams of protein a day.
I was telling them I'm reading like The Last Ronin right now, that Ninja Turtles comic book. I have the trade, right, that I got from the library. I'll read one comic and I'm like,
read a comic.
Time to go to bed.
I had
like 50 to 70 a week?
Yeah, I mean, I read 7 today so far. I got another 3 to finish up this week.
Damn. It's incredible. Yeah. I wish I still read
that. But that way people don't, like, I think it's intimidating to start comics. So I want to give my top nine so people know, like, oh, I like that character, which one? Or, like, oh, that sounds interesting enough. And I just want it to be more approachable because I think comics
stories. Got anything for Wolfsbane lately?
You know, Wolfsbane's been tucked away, but the new New Mutants run's pretty solid and Wolfsbane might come back. So, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, John.
Are you excited for the new.
The post Krakoa era? Yeah. I think it's the first relaunch since the 90s that's going to bring all the fans in.
Yeah. I'm trying to finish the Krakoa stuff.
It's ending right now.
I'm still in Dawn of X right now.
Oh, you got some time.
I got a ways to go.
Especially one issue a day. But it's fun.
Well, I read sometimes two if I'm a good boy. Well, the problem is the library doesn't have volume 8, and I'm at a crossroads right now.
All right.
They've got all of them, but not volume 8, and
I think House of Secrets and Manitoba has the library. For like $10.
I was like, if I buy this trade paperback just so I can read it, can I just give it to you guys so that the next poor soul at the library can finish?
I think they do that. You can donate to
a library. Well, no, they don't. The Manitoba
library.
They don't love it because they don't know what you fucking did to the book.
Oh, my God.
They want to get it from a clean source. Well, yeah, they're like the biggest library.
In Manitoba.
They're like, we're getting books. We're not, yeah, we don't care about this.
All right. Wow, that has been the comic talk on the break room.
Yeah,
I
loved it.
Hey, Carlo, cut this all out.
Yeah, cut it out.
No, keep the plug.
Keep the plug for your local library. They also have an online comics reading service,
which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Cosmixology.
Amazon has the comic service.
Make sure to subscribe to the Break Room channel on YouTube and give us a follow on Twitch where we do videos like these live. Follow Break Room NR on social media and we'll catch you later, all. Later, skaters.
Bye! Man, everyone's taking all of my stuff today.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, gators.